Hey, what's up? Some of the things that I say might hurt your feelings. I don't mean it, but I just speak what is true. I tear down lies and build up truth. So if you don't like what I say, you can go to the left or you can go to the right. This is not no mush mush. So here I go.
Earthquakes, we in the end times. They gave his babies to the gators, don't forget now. He delivered us from Egypt, about to do it all again. Finding out that we the people, so we putting down our sins. Father, we wanna go home, Abba, please let us in. Oh, and no one to your word, cause you about to send your winds. Abba, keep us from the hour of temptation. Trusting in your word, we just waiting. Come get us from these nations. Abba, keep us from the trickery of Satan. Trusting in your word, not these nations. We in the tribulation.
We get what we deserve. Oh, we get what you tell me. We get what we deserve. Oh, we get
blue. Mali, Niger and Burkina Faso's withdrawal from the ECOWAS could result in higher trade costs and potential security risks, as per the IMF. The departure may obstruct the free movement of goods, services and people across borders, impacting economic growth and regional trade relations. The IMF warns Mali, Niger and Burkina Faso of the possible economic consequences of leaving ECOWAS. The regional economic group aims to promote economic cooperation among its members, but the three countries' exit could cause major economic disruptions. The IMF cautions that these West African countries could face increased trade restrictions, such as higher taxes and other obstacles, resulting in higher costs for businesses and consumers. This situation could hinder the movement of goods, services and people across borders, potentially harming economic growth and regional trade ties. The decision to exit ECOWAS, announced on January 28th, was driven by strained relations with the sub-regional organization following military takeovers. ECOWAS responded to the withdrawal by suspending the three countries from its bodies, imposing stringent sanctions and even threatening the use of force. This action underscores the vital role of regional cooperation and the economic advantages of being part of a larger, unified market. The IMF's African Department Director has spotlighted the negative implications for these landlocked nations, stating that the exit would result in higher trade friction and soaring transaction costs, a situation detrimental to these countries' economies. Additionally, the departure could intensify security challenges and potentially isolate the alliance, posing economic and security risks. It is important to note that the withdrawal process from ECOWAS follows a specific procedure which has not been followed by Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger. Mali said on that it would not wait a year to leave the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, as is required by the bloc's treaty. Mali and its neighbors, Niger and Burkina Faso, announced last month that they were immediately leaving ECOWAS. All three formally notified the ECOWAS Commission of their decisions to leave the bloc in written notices dated January 29th, which, according to the treaty, means that they would still be bound by membership until 1 year from that date. Mali's foreign ministry said that ECOWAS had violated its own texts by closing its borders to Mali when it imposed sanctions on the military regime. Consequently, the government of the Republic of Mali is no longer bound by the deadline constraints mentioned in Article 91 of the revised treaty, the statement said. Moving to Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso military ruler, Ibrahim Traoré says his government has solidified the country's diplomatic ties with the Russian government to the extent of getting any weapons without restrictions. Mr. Traoré, who mentioned this in a video, stated that his country, Niger, and Mali's decision to exit the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, was final. Speaking further on what led to the decision, Ibrahim Traoré said the sanctions imposed on Niger Republic had no basis in any laws of ECOWAS. He said, there are many putschists among them, so it is not a question of putschists, it is just a mask. But they themselves have never respected their texts. The sanctions imposed on Niger do not exist anywhere in the text. So the first to violate these texts are these so-called democrats. No, it is finished. We can't go back to ECOWAS. With Russia, there is no equipment that we want to pay for with them that they don't sell. Others place restrictions on us. Of course, they tell us we can buy any type of weapon. There are many countries, Russian, Chinese, Turkish, Korean, and so on. There are no restrictions. With Iran, whatever we want, they will take stock. If we can pay, we pay. On the other hand, Niger reaffirmed its without delay withdrawal from the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, in scathing correspondence to the organization's commission. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Cooperation and Nigerians Outside denounces the flagrant violations of the revised ECOWAS Treaty and other international conventions by the organization. Niger criticizes the sanctions imposed by ECOWAS, calling them contrary to the relevant community provisions and violation of the right of access to the sea and from the sea and freedom of transit of Niger. Anyway, what are your thoughts on this?
Captain Ibrahim Traoré, leader of Burkina Faso's junta, has issued a stern warning to ECOWAS, stating that escalating tensions could potentially lead to an armed conflict. He emphasized that the United Armies of the Alliance of Sahel States, AES, are fully prepared to face off against the ECOWAS forces, which had been believed to be on standby. The recent confrontation between the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, and the coup-plagued nations of Niger, Mali, and Burkina Faso has seen an escalation, with thousands of recorded deaths resulting from the ongoing conflict between the two sides. The junta leader of Burkina Faso has squarely placed the blame for the situation on ECOWAS. Captain Traoré was vocal about his grievances in a recent speech. He accused ECOWAS, specifically its head, Nigeria's president, Bola Ahmed Tinubu, of being accountable for the demise of numerous Nigerians. We are waiting for that standby force, ECOWAS. Thousands of Nigerians died on their hospital beds because of a lack of electricity or lack of medicine, Traoré said. It is a crime. They are responsible for these sanctions. They are responsible for these deaths. He also noted that this, however, has not taken away the fighting spirit of the Nigerian people. Do you think there are weak men who are in Niger? There are fighters over there. The Nigerian army is warlike. They have been fighting for years. In recent weeks, the junta states have decided on a confederation exclusive to them. Their decision to form their own confederation, dubbed the Alliance of Sahel States, AES, precedes their decision to leave the West African bloc. During his speech, the captain boldly emphasized the increasing strength and resilience of the AES. He pointed out that the Economic Community of West African States' decision to cut off electricity supply to Mali had only served to entrench further the support of the people for their new junta government. The captain firmly observed that the ECOWAS's attempt to inflict hardship on the people of Mali by disconnecting their electricity supply in the hope that they would rise up against their new government had failed miserably. In fact, some had been forced to pass on the cost of electricity to their own people, leading to further agony. The captain forcefully emphasized that this strategy had not deterred the people of Mali from supporting their government. Moreover, the captain confidently stated that the AES was developing alternative sources of energy, such as solar panels and nuclear plants, and that these would soon be available to all. The captain's remarks underscored the crucial importance of investing in renewable energy sources to ensure long-term, sustainable development. It is evident that ECOWAS and the Yunta nations have starkly contrasting opinions and frustrations concerning the current situation. The imposition of economic sanctions by ECOWAS and the formation of the Alliance of Sahel States, AES, by the Junta underscore the complex and challenging dynamics at play. ECOWAS remains steadfast in its original ideals, while the AES has firmly rejected these principles due to their Western roots. The group desires to establish a new government that is entirely free from any Western influence. Here is the complete speech delivered by Ibrahim Him Traoré. It is worth noting that the content of his speech may come as a surprise to some of the attendees. The speech was originally delivered in French, and I will provide an accurate translation for those who are not proficient in the language. Before I do that, welcome to Teens Republic English, a channel
Nous avons mis en garde pendant plus d'un an.
We have been warned for over a year. The local Cliff's parlor slaves wear that he doesn't work in their homeland for the benefit of imperialism.
Patrie au profit de l'impérialisme. Certains ont compris, se sont rangés.
Some understood. It was put away. Others did not understand. Perhaps this problem was even more clever.
Nous n'avons plus de sentiments.
But today, we no longer have any feelings about this aspect.
Quiconque.
Quittance will work his homeland for the benefit of imperialism. He will be treated as such. Returning to our ECOWAS family, since we decided to leave ECOWAS, parlor slaves have been operated everywhere. They want to scare the people. They want to scare everyone, thank God. In the recent past, there were only a handful of people who had the right to speak. On TV sets, it was what he said to himself that was taken as gospel. Today, with new technologies, you, of course, have advantages and disadvantages. Everyone has the right to speak. We can make mistakes, but when someone comes to us to understand, we are very open to explaining the procedures here. We will explain to you why we left ECOWAS and where we are going. And it was created in 1975, and it was created for the majority of punchy heads of state, as he has just told me. It was soldiers who took power and took responsibility for creating ECOWAS so that there would be real economic growth for the people within this space. Later on, the evenings of democratic sales, they are invited to the head of our state, the community of its foundation. When on July 26th, Niger decided to take its destiny into its own hands, we were surprised to see ECOWAS appear. Young people were staying with a force on standby. Where was this strength when thousands and thousands of Nigerians were killed by terrorists? They said that by force they were going to disturb you. So the valiant sons of Niger took destiny in the hand of the prize. Do you believe the issue of LED women who are in Niger? There are fighters there. The Nigerian army is warlike. You've been fighting for years. This is not an army of Dauphiné for a peacekeeping army. And the armies of the layer have decided to unite. We are waiting for this force in waiting. It's so-called Democrats who understand this. When thousands of Nigerians died in their hospital beds due to lack of electricity or lack of medicine, it's a crime. They are responsible for these sanctions. They are responsible for these deeds. The same thing is happening in Mali with Burkina. We have indirect sanctions because people need to understand. When they don't take their instructions from the other side, they come and do everything to apply them. It's shameful. Health have decided not to supply electricity to our countries. It's not free, we pay. And on the other hand, you have their economy. Try to make Mali suffer. And of course, your desires for all the texts and to no longer give electricity to Mali, hoping that the population will revolt. It does not work. When saturated, some were forced to make their own people pay by increasing the cost of electricity. It will increase further. This gives us several lessons, several missions in the sense that the independence that we take, the sovereignty that we take, we must do everything to ensure that it is. Who gave us very good lessons and we understood very well. Some lock up their strength, which goes against all international texts, because we cannot close the ports to a landlocked country. They did it. They violated the texts. The international community does not apply anyone in ECOWAS. But in the ports, we do not transit our goods for free, we pay. And that those who do it are now reaping the spoils. And I think it's a lesson for them too, that we should always not follow their master's instructions. He must understand this forever.
Members of the East African Community, EAC, will soon begin transacting using a common currency valued higher than any other currency from member states. The East African government has officially announced the release of a common currency for members of the East African Community, EAC, called Shiafra, which is yet to become the official money for all East African countries. Here's what we know so far. Through their social media, the EAC announced that the community consisting of countries Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and South Sudan are to use the same currency, Shiafra. The introduction of the new currency marks a historic step towards facilitating trade and economic cooperation among member states. Shiafra, meaning Sheikh. Shilling EA, East Africa, Fra, Franc. During the launch ceremony, it was revealed that the East African Shiafra would be issued in six denominations, ranging from SHF 5 to SHF 200. This comprehensive range aims to cater to various transactional needs within the region. While the currency is currently in the specimen stage and not yet in circulation, its imminent introduction signals a new era of financial unity and collaboration within the East African region. Benson Kipruto, the victor of the Tokyo Marathon, was slated to be the first individual to receive the currency, underscoring its symbolic importance. The key features of the East African Shiafra include its issuance by the Bank of East Africa, which will operate under the regulatory oversight of the Federal Republic of East Africa. The East African Shiafra, SHF1 Shiafra, is valued at $0.26, almost a dollar, which equates to chumti 800 Tanzania shillings, Chess 760 Kenya shillings, RFARM dot 1230, Rwanda franc 3400 Uganda shillings, BF.3103 Burundi franc. Also, in West Africa, the debate on ditching CFA begins as Burkina Faso, Mali and Niger forge a new paths. This month, reports emerged of a possible parting with their currency, the West African franc, CFA. Perhaps everything we've done has surprised you, hasn't it? Captain Ibrahim Traoré, leader of the Burkinabe transitional government, said in an interview in February. More changes might still surprise you. And it's not just about currency. We will break all ties that keep us in slavery. Within days, his Nigerian counterpart, Abdurrahman Achiani, confirmed that a major monetary shakeup could be in the offing. Currency is a sign of sovereignty. The AES member states are engaged in the process of recovering their full sovereignty. It is no longer acceptable for our states to be France's cash cow, he said in an interview with the state broadcaster. Their statements made headlines across a continent where criticism of the continued use of the CFA, a remnant of the French colonial system, is on the rise. While there is no word on when the planned change will happen, or if indeed it will, the desire to change the currency is not uniform yet among the three countries. France created the CFA in 1945 as a currency for its African colonies. Indeed, the acronym CFA initially stood for Colonies Françaises d'Afrique, French Colonies of Africa. This system provided France with significant economic and political influence over its African territories because it maintained control over the currency's convertibility and monetary policy. Eight members of UEMOA, Benin, Burkina Faso, Ivory Coast, Guinea-Bissau, Mali, Niger, Senegal, and Togo still use the CFA. An equivalent currency, the Central African franc, also called the CFA, is being used by the six member states of the Economic and Monetary Community of Central Africa: Cameroon, the Central African Republic, Chad, Republic of Congo, Equatorial Guinea, and Gabon. Only Equatorial Guinea and Guinea-Bissau are not former French colonies, having been subjugated by Spain and Portugal respectively. For years, the CFA was trumpeted by government officials as a mechanism for promoting monetary stability, facilitating economic integration, and enhancing overall economic performance. Then coups occurred, and rising anti-French sentiments developed. In any case, we would appreciate it if you could kindly...
France must make preparations for a definitive break and completely withdraw from Africa. Africa belongs to Africans, not France. She belongs to no one else. Neither China, nor the United States, nor anyone else. It is high time for France to lift its knee off our neck and put an end to this unjust oppression. Centuries of misery, human trafficking, colonization, and neocolonization have caused immeasurable suffering. It's time to put an end to this cycle of oppression. It's high time for France to leave us alone. It's time for France to take a cue from its European neighbors and learn a valuable lesson in independence. Germany is the leading economic power in Europe, significantly surpassing France, which is ranked as the third or fourth largest economic power globally. Germany does not exploit any country, any colony. I can mention Italy, I can mention Spain, who had colonies before, but who do not exploit anyone, who do not interfere, who do not impose leaders in their former colonies. On what grounds does France believe it can continue to impose leaders on us and make choices on our behalf? This must come to an end. And the emerging Africa, the African youth, the African elites, and the African diaspora all stand united in saying no, it cannot continue any longer. France's hypocrisy is evident and pervasive in daily life. Let's examine the cases of Mali and Chad as prime examples of this hypocrisy. In Chad, where the constitutional process has been interrupted, France applauded and its president visited to officially consecrate the new king's coronation ceremony. In Mali, where it is not the constitutional process that has been interrupted, but the transition process, France has condemned and even packed up its things to say that it is leaving Mali. That's hypocrisy. It's the double standard. It is the double language that France employs in its dealings with Africa. During our questioning of Mr. Jean-Yves Le Drian,
regarding the situation in Ivory Coast and France's decision to allow a third term, he provided a clear explanation. He stated that while he accepted the third term for Ouattara, he refuses it for Belarus. He emphasized that France has condemned the situation in Belarus and has actively encouraged the European Union to do the same. Le Drian explains that in Belarus, millions protested, unlike Ivory Coast, where there were no mass demonstrations on the streets. This is how France deals with African issues. Personally, we expect absolutely nothing from France. We desire her to cease meddling in our matters so that the people of Senegal can exercise their freedom of choice rather than being influenced by France's selection of a candidate using the tactics we are aware of. We begin by targeting individuals, adorning them with the Legion of Honor or a similar knightly rank, enlisting them in Masonic lodges, and informing them to prepare themselves as they will be next in line. Even the hypothesis that Macky Sall may not succeed, we know who is being prepared by France. This must come to an end. It will not occur in this manner any longer. Let's be clear. We have absolutely nothing against the French people. In France, both political and citizen voices are rising to hold and express the same discourse as the one I'm currently presenting to you. For example, the deputies, such as Mrs. Frédérique Dumas, who regularly speaks on the platform of the Assembly, who regularly writes to the Minister of Foreign Affairs, since she is a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee, to raise this unfair behavior of France towards Africa, hold the same speech as us. The same Mr. Jean-Luc Mélenchon, Jean-Paul Lecoq, André Chassaigne, all deputies, hold the same discourse as us, and hundreds of other voices. The NGOs, like other non-profit organizations, are doing remarkable work in the same direction. We strongly urge France to listen to the voices that speak to it about our plan for a more collaborative, fairer, and sustainable partnership between Africa and France. It is crucial that we work together towards a future that is equitable, just, and environmentally conscious. If she listens, I believe we'll have beautiful days ahead in our collaboration together. If he doesn't know how to cut it, thinking he can continue to function like in the time of our grandfathers, this African youth no longer accepts it. France must make preparations for a definitive break and completely withdraw from Africa. Africa belongs to Africans, not France. This African youth no longer accepts it. France must make preparations for a definitive break and completely withdraw from Africa. Africa belongs to Africans, not France. She belongs to no one else. Neither China, nor the United States, nor anyone else.
Get that horse and his wagon, get that man and his rifle, get that priest and his Bible, get them that's dead on arrival, them that pray see heaven, them that don't see devil, separate but equal, say them that slave my people, so break them chains and shackles. Come again. Get that horse and his wagon, get that man and his rifle, get that priest and his Bible, for them that's dead on arrival, them that pray see heaven, and them that don't see devil, separate but equal, say them that slave my people, so break them chains and shackles, not again.
This is FaZe. First of all, I want to thank the Most High for all he do for us, y'all, knowingly and unknowingly. Second of all, I want to thank Jesus Christ for dying on the cross, bringing us back to the Most High bosom. Thank you, Yahweh, and thank you, Yahweh Shai, for all you do for it, knowingly and unknowingly. I want to thank my interstate and out-of-state people for listening, y'all. I know you didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway. Hey, fam. I came across this content. I want y'all to really, really grasp onto what this guy talking about, right? And it's about
the money. I already told you our money is acting funny in America, right? So I want y'all to see, most of y'all, the Bible said, most of y'all gonna have that money to be y'all God. And that's what y'all profess that money to be at this point in time. Now the Most High gonna flip the script and take away the value of that money and see who's your God gonna be. Because, you know, like I said, we looking at this big picture, we watching this big movie. And I said America's supposed to fall, according to Bible prophecy. So I done showed you plenty of things that is cracking the foundation of the fall. And the foundation is cracking so much and so thick and so fast, y'all can't even really see it. Now, they telling you something, what they gonna do with the money. It gonna be, y'all working so hard for your retirement stuff, paying off your house, paying off your car, saving up money, saving for trips, and we're going to see how much money your money going to be valued with. Because they say they're going to do away. I ain't going to tell you what they say, because every time I say something, y'all say, faith, they know everything. So, we already know the Caucasian man is most of y'all guys anyway. Whatever the Caucasian man say and the Caucasian woman say, you'll take it for face value and take it and run with it. So I want you to take this for face value and run with it. Let's analyze.
I'm a former advisor to the Pentagon, the White House, Congress, the CIA, and the Department of Defense. I'm also an attorney, investment banker, and author of 7 books on currencies and international economics. When places like Fox, CNBC, or Bloomberg want to know what's about to shake up the global economy, they call me. Most of all, like you, I'm a proud American patriot. The disturbing predictions you're about to see are based on my independent research and my contacts in the intelligence community. I've never made this kind of public announcement before, but it's my duty to pull the alarm. This is what I believe Section 4 of Biden's order means for all Americans. The US dollar will be made obsolete. Soon your cash will be confiscated or will simply be worthless paper. The cash currency we have now will be replaced with a new programmable digital token. But the truth is, few outside the deep state recognize Biden's move for what it really is. If my predictions are correct, this is so much more sinister than simply replacing the cash dollar with a new digitized version. Friend, this new currency will allow for total control of all American citizens, because every digital dollar will be programmed by the government. That means they will be able to turn on or turn off your money at will. Not only that, but they'll be able to track and record every purchase you make. This is very different than online banking and has nothing to do with crypto. I'll explain everything in a moment. But what you need to know now is AOC has already publicly declared her support for a government-controlled spyware currency. The digital dollar means Dems will be able to punish any contribution, purchase, or even social media comment that they don't like. And this isn't something years away. It's starting now. Biden's secret army has been hard at work, and U.S. trials are already well underway. In fact, our government is racing to catch up. China and Russia have already launched pilot programs for their own digital currencies. More than half the countries in the world and almost 90% of central banks are testing or exploring a digital currency right now. In my opinion, it's not a question of will the U.S. implement a digital dollar. It's just a question of when. And the answer to that is it's already happening. Under Project Lithium and Project Hamilton, the new spyware currency has been quietly tested for several years. There's no stopping it. I predict we'll see a digital dollar in circulation next year or 2024 at the latest. Thanks to Section 4 of Biden's Order 14072, ordering urgent research into developing the digital dollar, I believe the U.S. dollar, the standard of the world since 1792, will be replaced by a new currency, the digital dollar. These new electronic currencies are called CBDCs, or Central Bank Digital Currencies. I call the digital dollar Biden Bucks, because I want him to take full credit for what I consider to be crimes. This is not like the money in your online bank account. No, this is new and different. Every digital dollar will be a programmable token like Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies, but there's a big difference. Cryptocurrencies are decentralized digital currencies. Instead, if it plays out the way I see it, Biden bucks will have the full backing of the U.S. Federal Reserve. They will replace the cash fiat dollar we have now and will soon be the sole mandatory currency of the United States. When Biden bucks are rolled out, many experts, myself included, believe they will begin an era of total government control and surveillance. This is not hyperbole. This would dramatically expand the power and influence of the federal government, essentially acting as a new type of spyware. With Biden bucks, the government will be able to force you to comply with its agenda, because if you don't, they could turn off your money. This won't be like freezing a bank account. It will be so much easier, because Biden bucks will be digital tokens programmed at the source. They could be turned on or off at will with just a keystroke, and they could be reprogrammed at any time. With Biden's secret surveillance army running the show, the anti-freedom implications are almost limitless. For example, Biden bucks could be programmed to allow only certain kinds of purchases. Imagine what this new world could look like. In fact, I fully expect them to implement a social credit rating system like in China. Say the wrong thing on social media, buy the wrong thing, subscribe to the wrong news channel, give money to the wrong candidate, and your rating drops. Suddenly, your Biden bucks are frozen or disappearing from your account. This is already happening in China. There, a low social score gets you officially labeled untrustworthy. They can take away your ability to travel, restrict your internet access, deny your family the best schools or jobs. They may even take away your pets. I'm not kidding. All this is going on today.
They're constantly monitored by facial recognition cameras that are able to instantly put a face to a name. Now the Chinese are also ranked, given a mark out of a possible 950 points. A score in the 700s is considered good, around the 500 mark is not. For now, the number is a sort of bank credit rating, keeping track of everyone's spending habits.
So y'all see these things going on, fam. You see the crafty counseling, and we know the Federal Reserve is a fluke, is a phony, is a fraud, is a manipulation tool. You know what I'm saying? All this is a manipulation tool to put us in submission. Now I'm reaching right now. So they got all these migrants on here that don't know no better. And if they go through these process right there, they'd be easy to draft because their IQ is low, because they don't know no better what's going on in the process over here. And we that know better, that been here, know this is a fluke, this is a game. And my thing is, why are we going to play this money game with them, y'all? Why are we going to play money game if we know the Federal Reserve is a flunk, is a host, is a crook? And we know the United States government don't care for the common man and common woman. See, the speeches and talking like this is what take my points away. Informing y'all on what's going on the crooked style. You see how the crooked being crookeder? And I continue saying, the earth is given to the hands of the wicked. And we seeing all this wicked stuff coming out. You have to be ruling this earth for this earth to be wicked. It can't be. It's a whole lot of righteous people and a little bit of wicked people, and the whole world look wicked. The whole world is wicked. The whole world behave wicked. The whole world breathe wicked. The whole world smell wicked. The world is wicked. And they putting these down in here. They trying to put their knee in our neck so bad. They trying to put the knee in our neck so bad, and we ain't even realize it. You looking at me like I'm the enemy, but I'm not the enemy. I'm the one trying to help us get out of this knee in my neck. And half of y'all are just like my man when he was asking somebody to please help him get this man from having his knee in his neck, and everybody was scared. Everybody IQ was at the lowest, mental retardation. Because you had to be at a low IQ to hear another man getting honked in the street. My man had a knee in his neck instead of a rope and got honked in the street. And what did they do? And what they continue doing? We see the wickedness in the earth, and we see the people who is the wickedness and bring forth more wickedness. We see this. Y'all don't want to rectify this or say nothing about it, or y'all just want to be like that bird, put his hand in the dirt like you ain't seen nothing. You want to be like them three-headed monkey. Monkey see, monkey do, monkey say. None of y'all ain't trying to hear none, see none, or say none. But it happened to you or somebody you care about, then you want somebody to speak out. So what's the matter? So what's the matter with that message? What's the matter?
Let's talk about how the Black Christ icon paintings got in Russia. We must remember that these paintings were in Africa first. Most people don't know about the great campaign against the Emperor of Ethiopia, Tedros II. The Siege of Magdala consists of the British Empire invading Ethiopia, which was called Magdala and Abyssinia in the 1800s. The British Empire looted biblical manuscripts, artifacts, Renaissance paintings, and many other items, including gold. As Jeff Rosen mentions in his presentation of The Secrets of England's Greatness.
All of these costumes, the artifacts, ended up in British collections. When the British left Africa, the British Museum, the British Library, obtained manuscripts. Napier, before he burned Magdala, made it really clear that they were to strip the churches of artifacts, and then they auctioned off the king's blood-soaked garments. So this was absolutely taken back to England as a kind of, as emblems, concrete and symbolic of the victorious war. So these emblems, the Southwark Kensington Museum, now V&A, has shield and lion mane ornament. Also, this is a refugee from a country that has been defeated, where its capital has been razed, and all of the treasures of the capital have been looted. The British used 2 elephants and 200 mules to sack Magdala and cart off all the treasures. Gold, Renaissance paintings, there's at least one Renaissance painting, and manuscripts. All that had important identity for the country of Abyssinia. With respect to the topic of this machine of British or fostering British identity, I think this gesture also solidifies it. It's British power that has subjugated the Black African on the right, and that's emblemized by the tattoo emblem. Think of bringing Indian elephants to Africa as war elephants, essentially. And at the same time, sheltering one of its native sons, the prince.
Queen Victoria was the queen of the United Kingdom at the time when Magdala was sieged. A majority of the stolen items were under her possessions and passed down in her lineage, which ruled other lands such as Russia. At the outbreak of the First World War, their grandchildren occupied the thrones of Denmark, Greece, Norway, Germany, Romania, Russia, Spain, and the United Kingdom. For this reason, Victoria was nicknamed the Grandmother of Europe. And some of Victoria's grandchildren married into the Romanov family, aka the Russian Empire. So these icon paintings are in Russia because of what the British Empire did to Ethiopia. Not because these paintings come from Russia, but because they were looted in Africa. This is why Queen Victoria quoted, "I should so love to lay my crown at his feet." which is the risen Christ.
Now, fam, we got to realize something now. Putin done opened up a bag of ooh-wee, right? And a lot of people haven't really got their mind wrapped on about the ooh-wee situation, about the black Jesus. So, why is people flabbergasted about a black Jesus? Yahawashah. Why?
Recently, President Putin unveiled things they have from their archives, they say 1,000 years in their archives, and they showed that Sayyidina Isa salam to be dark-skinned, and images that are associated with the people of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, dark-skinned. And from what we taught from Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sayyidina Musa salam was very dark-skinned. 70,000 prophets of Allah Zawajal, now these ulama are finally admitting, out of 124,000, 70,000 dark-skinned prophets. Means with Islam lies the truth, and all others, they put a deception, what we call kufr. That to know a truth and to deceive a people and to make a certain race of people as if they're more important than others.
So easy. They really trying to take us out, like for real, in the name of making a dollar though, like in the name of making a dollar. I just saw this creator on here, her name is Ebony B. She just put me on to the fact that a lot of the popular clothing companies that we use are using resources to make clothes cheaply, which could give us cancer. Every time I be all right, I'm given another thing to stress out about. What is up with the world? Why are they trying to take us out so bad? And because California knows what's going on, they created a thing called Prop 65, which is a warning label to let you know, hey, if you decide to wear these clothes, it definitely could either give you cancer, cause birth defects, or make you have issues with your reproductive system. Never in my life would I have thought that clothes that I put on my body have chemicals that can sink in through my skin and harm me. Like, this is scary, and not only are these warnings on clothing and with clothing companies, they're also with our bedding, our sheets, our pillows. Like, would it really hurt you to make things that are good for humans to use and not have everything potentially give us cancer or mess with our reproductive systems? Like, are you crazy?
Descendants of Jacob, and they knew Africa was the promised land. In the 15th century, there were forced conversions to Christianity, and in the year 1434, the Pope issued a bull threatening excommunication for the enslavement of Christian converts. However, in 1442, Pope Eugene, in response to a request from Prince Henry the Navigator of Portugal, issued a bull, which declared Portuguese expeditions down the coast of Africa to be a crusade and allowed the taking of slaves in that endeavor. This marked the beginning of the European involvement in the slave trade, which they soon took from the Arabs, and it was those Arabs who told them that these are the people of the book. All invaders from that time have mapped Africa, which is the biblical Canaan and the promised land. The Catholic Church knew who we were, and now that Africa is waking up, we encourage them to obey God's word concerning the land so you can come up out of the curse.
Hey, these are we need facts, we need empirical evidence, we need an investigation. What is your investigation telling you?
Well, I have a better question for you, Steve. Why are you coming to the mic telling the country that it's not terrorism when your own intelligence Christians are telling you it is. And I know they are, because I didn't make this up. These are not my words, right? I'm talking to people who are on the inside, some who are on active duty, some who are retired, and everyone, literally, from critical infrastructure in Department of Homeland Security to the intelligence agencies, they know there's no other, this is a cyber attack on a critical infrastructure corridor for the United States. This is, you know, for those people who think this is just a river, this is in Baltimore, what does this matter? You don't know anything about what you're talking about. This, the I-94 corridor on the eastern seaboard, is literally what connects the north and south. And when I talk about hazardous materials, right, this is a brilliant, well-planned strategic attack on one of the most important supply chains in the United States of America. The only other one is in the western side in California. That's the only one that's busier. And what you have done is you now have shut it down. And when I talk about hazardous materials, what are we talking about here? This is refined fuels, right? This is propane gas. This is diesel. This is fuel. This is flammable materials. This is oversized loads, nitrogen, chemicals. Everything that you need for your economy to move has literally just been shut down for 4 to 5 years.
Fam, we got to wake up and realize the things that are going on in this world. We got to get an eye on the prize, bruh, for real. Bruh, sister. You know, now the bridge, why is that bridge important? Why is that bridge in Baltimore so important? And I already told you it's supposed to be some funny stuff, some slick stuff coming on now. Now that means all the food and all the other stuff and resources is going to stop. Think about it.
Oh, we have a problem. Now we have a major problem. The I-480 bridge in Valley View is on fire. Do you understand that? Two bridges in one day have been compromised. One going down. Is this an accident? America, are you paying attention? Because if you do not understand the magnitude of what happened in Baltimore, that bridge connects Baltimore to civilization. All goods, anything they need, food, water, gasoline, everything, travels across that bridge. And now it's down. Now we're getting news that I-480 in Valley View is on fire. Are you paying attention? Do you know what time it is? Because I do. I know exactly what time it is. Deuces.
Invasion has begun. Phase 2. What is Phase 2? Well, let's listen to an integration specialist from the Catholic Charities explain how Phase 2 has just begun. Listen.
I'm Claire Roining, the Refugee Integration Specialist at Catholic Charities Milwaukee. Welcome Corps is a private refugee resettlement sponsorship program that allows private sponsors who are U.S. citizens or green card holders to help refugees who are in other countries to enter the United States through the U.S. Refugee Admissions Program. Now that the program has reached Phase 2, we may begin working on our applications to sponsor our friends and family.
So what in the world is going on here? And what is the Catholic Charities? How are they integrating and bringing in illegal aliens into the United States with the backing of the Biden administration? What is actually happening here right under our noses? Let's bring in J.J. Carroll. He's the author of Invaded. Of course, veteran of the Customs and Border Patrol for many, many years as a supervisor, has written an amazing book on this. And I have to say, JJ, when you sent me this information, I was just blown away. And I think Americans have no idea what's happening. So first of all, let's start at the start of this. What is Phase 2 of this entire border invasion process?
Okay. First off, thanks for having me back on. And Phase 2, I've witnessed this throughout my career, not to the level that it's happening Now, I could never imagine what they're doing, but I watched this phase system come through. Phase one, flood the system with millions of illegal aliens. Throughout my career, I saw this happening. Phase two is allowing permanent resident aliens called lappers or people with green cards and United States citizens to sponsor illegal immigrants from foreign nations into America. But the arrogance of this administration working through the NGOs have spilled the beans, if you will. Nobody knows there's phases unless you were inside the belly of the beast and watched it through your career. Phase one, millions of people coming into America illegally. Phase one doesn't end, mind you, it just continues on. But phase two is bringing more foreign nationals into America under the guise of being sponsored. And to understand what sponsorship is, if I'm a natural, I'm a U.S. citizen or a green card holder, I'm allowed to sponsor my family members to come into America, which is great. If I'm married to someone, say, from the Philippines, and I want to bring them in legally, there's a process for that. Or I'm a lapper and I want to do that. I have no problem with that. However, what the Biden administration has done through Mayorkas and the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Service, USCIS, has done is they've labeled all of the millions of people that have been paroled in as legal residents, lawfully permanent residents. So now they bestowed that title, which is they're illegal aliens. You can call them parole, asylum, whatever. When these individuals come in, Clayton, they get about 60 to 90 days to see an immigration inspector or immigration judge. They can't see an immigration judge in New York City to 2032. California is 2027 and beyond. They're never going to see an immigration judge, so they go out of status and thus become illegal aliens. So the USCIS has bestowed legal resident status on illegal aliens. So now illegal aliens can sponsor their family members to come into America.
So they're getting, so illegal immigrants now have legal authority to sponsor other illegal immigrants, even though they're not here legally, and they're still awaiting even seeing an immigration judge, which is pushed off by 10, 15, 20 years because they're all backed up so much that they can't do it.
Correct. That's absolutely correct. So the Center for Immigration Studies, CIS.org, one of their investigative journalists named Nyla Rush did an article on this, and I agree with her completely. I've seen the stats. I know what's happening. So Biden administration has taken the countries of Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela, and they shortened the term down to CHNVs, okay? They are now saying that those individuals from those countries that have been paroled into America are now legal residents and can bring all their family members in, just from those nations. However, there's a cutout that says those illegal aliens from those CHNVs can sponsor people or family members despite them being from other nations. Meaning, if I'm from Venezuela, but my family member's from Iran, I can bring that person in from Iran. I'm not subject to that. What's even more malicious is USCIS has now designated temporary protective status, TPS, DACA recipients, and deferred enforced deportation, which is DED. Those people under those blankets, those are all temporary, 18 months, you can stay in America. They've deemed them as legal residents as well. Why? Let me give you an example of how devious this is. 2 weeks ago, President Biden did an executive order and gave deferred enforced deportation coverage to 6,000 Palestinian illegal aliens. 6,000 illegal aliens from Palestine here in America now are forbidden from being deported. They cannot be through deportations. Those 6,000 can now petition for all their family members living in the Gaza and in Palestine into America.
So what you're saying here is that all of these American, or all of these now parolees can sponsor up to 4 illegal immigrants per people. So if we're talking 10 million people have come into the United States, and I know your numbers in the book, I mean, it's just staggering how many people are already here. That basically could add an additional 40 million people into the United States.
Yes, but hold on one second, just so you understand. In the old system, if I wanted to sponsor someone, I had to fill out a government form I-134. It's a declaration of financial support. So I could only maybe bring in one person, maybe my father or my brother, because I only had the financial support to bring in one person. Well, DHS now said, hey, you don't have to provide that form anymore. Because the first question people should ask is, how is an illegal alien from Sudan that's living in the detention facility or a hotel, a Comfort Inn in Boston, Mass, how are they going to provide support for family members? Well, the DHS now claims that that all the NGOs, starting with Catholic Charities, they can be the sponsors, the financial sponsors. So instead of bringing just my brother over, I can bring my father, my mother, my brother and sister. I can bring their children. I can bring their spouses. I can bring grandma and grandpa, because there's no limitation on my financial support. The NGOs are now the backstop for that.
So I was going to ask you how the Catholic Charities fits into this. So these NGOs are being paid for by the Biden administration in order to facilitate this. They're making enormous amounts of money. And this is how the Biden administration gets away with it, right? They can pass it off to non-government organizations. So it's not the Biden administration. Yes. It's these private organizations. It's these 503C, whatever, you know, charities, et cetera. And by all accounts, they're supposed to be doing great work. Catholic Charities, that sounds like a great thing. So who is the Catholic Charities? What do they do?
Catholic Charities they are not affiliated, they say, with Catholic Church, but I'm a Catholic and I'm very aware Catholic Charities is tied at the hip with the Catholic Church. They are a nonprofit refugee resettlement group. That's probably, if I had to say, their main thrust in their charitable work is they resettle refugees. Now, that's not refugees like you and I think about back in the day, like people from Cambodia. We're talking about anyone that's illegal is considered a refugee. Let me explain how much money. Since 15 years prior to Biden taking office, Catholic Charities have received $3.5 billion from the U.S. government. $3.5 billion. Estimates now say between, by the time Joe Biden took office to now, that they've received another $3 billion. So we're encroaching on $7 billion. So when I tell you that the NGOs, be it United Way, Jewish Family Service, Lutheran Family Services, and all the hundreds of mom and pops, like literally mom and pops, we're paying taxpayer money to the NGOs. The NGOs are now using that money to bring illegal aliens into our country that are sponsored by them. By Catholic Charities becomes the sponsor of millions. So Clayton, so your audience understands. So I bring in my father, my mother, my brother and sister. Well, once they get in, they turn around and they say, well, I need my spouse and my kids.
I study the Bible, so I know it well. Yeah, can't let nobody make my soul for sale. Can't even lie, yeah, I still struggle, but I know myself. I fear God, I told him I don't wanna go to hell. Pray for the sermon, I'll be asking what's the gift in me. Must be this music, cause the world think I'm so sick with it. I switch my style, some people love it, some trying to get with it. I think what matters most is I'm living out what's God written. I make mistakes, but I embrace them, I'm still human. I escape from that place that made me feel ruined. So every day I still chase what I think I'm losing. And pray to God in the end that I don't look stupid. Why do I feel I'm unable, double-minded, I'm unstable? Wanna put all me on the table so God can make me an angel. Was living life like Cain, cause I was jealous of Abel. God told me, look up, child, I just wanna save you. I need to hear your voice in life so I could get through this. For you, I shoot for the stars every time and I don't miss. Every time I drop a hit, I still don't feel the bliss. And deep down, I know it's only cause I'm still living in sin. You transformed my pen, they laughed at me, now I'm laughing with them. Transformed my gifts, so now I can't even rap with them. I need to use my talents cause the devil be distracting them.